Today, we're on week two of a 7-week series on prayer. And prayer is a key ingredient to spiritual growth and maturity. Over the course of this series, my prayer is that you would get the most out of your prayer life and that you would develop a deeper, more intimate relationship with God. Prayer is a huge topic. For example, if you were to do a search on prayer books on Amazon.ca, you would get 100,000 results. If you were to do a search on the word prayer on Google, you would get 930 million results in 0.82 seconds. As you can see, prayer is a big deal. It's a huge topic. And so this morning, I want to give you the basic understandings of prayer. In fact, that's my message title this morning, Basic Understandings of Prayer. And I want to give you four basic understandings that I think that are fundamental when it comes to prayer. I believe that when we have a proper understanding of prayer, it becomes more delightful than a duty. It becomes a blessing instead of a burden, a want to instead of a I have to. So let's just dive right on in, shall we? Number one, the first basic understanding of prayer is that God loves it when we talk to Him. God loves it when we talk to Him. God has a vested interest in our lives. He longs for our relationship with us, and that is why He created us in His image, to have relationship with Him. So when thinking about this, I'm reminded of the old hymn, and we sang it in our first service. It's in the garden, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me that I am His own. And the joys we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. In the Bible, God is referred to as a Father. And He's not just any Father, He's our Father. Look at this in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 16. It says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." When Jesus taught His disciples to pray, He started off that prayer with "Our Father." Any fathers here this morning? Any fathers? Yeah? Any grandfathers here this morning? Some great-grandfathers here this morning? Yeah, yeah. Well, you see, let me ask you this. As a father, do you enjoy a conversation with your children? Do you enjoy conversations with your children? I mean, do you have invested interest in their life? Well, at least I hope you would. I enjoy spending time with my children. I really do. I love hearing about their interests and how they feel and about their day. And I love hearing especially the words, "I love you, Daddy." And it absolutely melts my heart every time, even when they come to me needing to vent. Kind of like Peyton did the other night. She was kind of having a bit of a moment there at college, and she was struggling and needed to verbalize just some frustration that she was having, not in schoolwork, not in it, but just kind of in herself, because she likes to be a person of lists and a person of priorities. And she needed to put some priorities in place, but she needed somebody to help walk her through this. And so she called and so I got to talk to her a little bit, and I loved it that she called, and not that she had to vent, but the fact that she knew where to go when to vent. And though she's like a day's drive away, the distance didn't matter because of me hearing her voice. Now, our God, our Father, loves hearing our voice. He loves it when we talk to Him, and that conversation that we have with Him is called prayer. It's called prayer. He wants to know your hopes and dreams. He wants to hear what scares you and that which makes you happy. He has invested interest in your life and in our lives. If He didn't care so much about us, He would have never sent His one and only Son to save us, to repair that broken relationship. And something else we need to be aware of is that nothing's off limits with God. Sometimes we can over-spiritualize our prayer time with God, thinking that we have to pray in a certain way and in a certain order and use the certain words in order for God to hear us and answer our prayers. God has invested interest in our lives, and He loves it when we come and talk to Him about what's happening in our lives, good, bad, and ugly. Nothing is off limits to God. And I believe God uses the term Father not for His benefit, but for ours, so that we can somehow picture God in a tangible way, not taking away from His reverence or splendor or glory. In 1 John 5, verses 14 to 15, it says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him." See, God always hears you no matter how you say it, when you say it, or how loud you say it, or if you even just think it in your mind. He knows and He hears those. God listens to you and He hears you. He hears you. Because of that, we can be confident in approaching God. We can be sure that He will answer us. Having confidence means that when you pray to God, we can pray with no shame. We can pray with no fear. We can pray with no hesitation. We can pray with no embarrassment. God loves us so much that He never grows weary listening to us. Before moving on to understanding number two, I want to give you a couple of quick truths about prayer. Truth number one is prayer is a conversation, not a ceremony. Prayer is a conversation, not a ceremony. A ceremony has a particular format, like a wedding ceremony, for instance. There are specific things that are required in a wedding ceremony, like the I do's, which is classified as the declaration of intent. And then there are the exchanging of the verbal vows, followed by the ring vows, which are then followed by the kiss. And then some ceremonies, there might be an object lesson of the unity of marriage, whether that be with sand or with candles or whatever else. Then there is this signing of the marriage license, ending off with the presentation of the couple. Oh, I nearly forgot my favorite part, though. My favorite part of the marriage ceremony. And it's one of those awkward moments, and it's one of those awkward questions. And it's the question of, if anyone here can show just cause why this couple may not lawfully be married, speak now or forever hold your peace. I ride that time for all it's worth. I like to see that couple squirm. It's awesome, because they're like, and I just wait. And I wait, and I was like, come on, anybody? Is there anybody in this? So it's, but a ceremony has a specific format that it follows. Otherwise, it's not complete. Anyone glad that prayer is not a ceremony? Instead, prayer is a conversation, which means there's no specifically detailed right way or wrong way to pray. The only exception is this: a conversation not only involves talking, but it involves listening to. It involves listening. One of the reasons that maybe we find prayer boring or unfulfilling is because it's only a one-sided conversation. We do all the talking, but none of the listening. If prayer is nothing more than just a monologue to the sky in the dark, and we don't hear any answers or get any impressions, then yes, prayer is going to be very unsatisfying. Imagine God, right? Have you ever had a conversation with somebody who did all the talking? And before you could even utter a word, they say, okay, thanks, and then walk away. Right? Maybe you're one of those people. The Lord loves to speak to us. Prayer involves taking time and being quiet and still before the Lord so that He can speak to us. We need to prepare our spirits to listen. Sometimes he'll place thoughts in your mind. He'll steer you to a particular scripture in the Bible, or gently speak to you, spirit to spirit. Now, some of you have had that incredible privilege of hearing God's voice audibly, But you also know that when you hear God's voice audibly, his presence is right there. And sometimes you can be a bit fearful, right? Because of that holy presence of God. Some of us are just moved with such emotion when we sense the presence of God so near, right? Near to us who are imperfect, a perfect God close. Truth number two is prayer is a relationship, not a ritual. It's all about getting close to God. It's all about talking to God and becoming acquainted with God and getting to know God and opening ourselves to learn more about him. If you found your prayer boring, maybe it's because you've been doing it wrong, or maybe you've been taught wrong, or maybe you've never understood the whole concept of prayer. It's been more of a duty instead of a delight. It's a ritual instead of a relationship. It's a ceremony instead of a conversation. It's a I have to instead of I want to. And so we fall into this trap of guilt being our motivation to go to prayer. And if guilt is your motivator, this is what happens, is that when the guilt passes, so does the feeling. Then we don't go to prayer. Prayer should not be viewed as that. Prayer should be viewed as a conversation with the creator of the universe and beyond. And that he never grows weary of listening to us when we talk to him. He's never too busy and he's always available. And no topic is off limits for him, because God loves it when we talk to him. Number two, basic understanding of prayer is God listens to prayers that are sincere and simple. So you don't have to use elaborate language in order to talk to God. You don't have to use fancy phrases. You don't have to sound so overly spiritual. You don't have to use religious cliches. Prayer is a conversation with God. God wants that conversation to be sincere and from the heart. He wants us to be authentic, real, and honest when we talk to him. And it's okay to talk to him about how we feel. After all, he already knows how we're feeling before we even go and talk to him about it. And listen, you don't have to use elaborate terms like, oh, thouest greatest potentate of the universe, thou whose dost wonderfully bestow on us all manners of beseeched blessing. I don't even know what I just said. It's kind of like me trying to talk to my dog. I'm speaking, and Ginny, our dog, just kind of tilts her head and says, I know you're speaking to me, but I don't know what you're saying. God would rather you speak to him in a fluent conversation. He wants to know what's written on your heart, even when you cannot express it accurately with your words. In our charismatic circles, there are times where we encourage people that when you run out of English words, and I find myself very much out of words on how to describe something, there's this inner groaning inside. This inner groaning inside. And that is when I rely on the spiritual gift of praying or speaking in tongues. Now, some maybe haven't explored that gift, or maybe you've never received that gift, but there are times when I'm in my prayer life and we're in my prayer closet with God, or I'm in a prayer meeting like we had this last week, 6 days of prayer, where there was like words were not enough and a language just came and I was able to use that language. Sometimes our words but are not enough, and we need to express in other ways. Sometimes we have this misconception, though, that it's improper to approach God when we're angry, frustrated, or just needing to vent. Did you know that 1/3 of the Psalms in the Bible are laments? Meaning, they're complaints. Yes, the person writing the Psalms in those particular Psalms was complaining to God. God doesn't need you to fake it to make it. He wants you to be honest and sincere. He welcomes conversation with us no matter what emotion we're experiencing. He would rather honesty over phony religious jargon. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8, it says this, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father for who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. When it comes to prayer, longer isn't stronger. When it comes to prayer, keep it simple. Sincere, humble, authentic prayers just work fine. They work fine. They work just fine. Some treat prayer like it's a performance, especially in public. Sometimes we can be very intimidated in corporate prayer settings when we hear others praying so eloquently, listening, and listen. When we pray in those settings, nobody's grading our prayers. Nobody's grading our prayers. And if they do, they'll have to answer to whom all prayer is directed to. See, God does not have a grading system on when it comes to prayer. He just loves the sincere and the simple prayers. But listen, just a sidebar though, there are some that you can tell that they have an authentic prayer life in the way they pray. You can tell that it's a relationship. You can tell that it goes down deep. And it's those that I love hearing. I love hearing because in those moments, you can hear the emotion in their voice. You can hear their reverence for God. So in our corporate settings, don't feel that you got to pray like somebody who's had that prayer, who's been praying for years if you're just starting out. Listen, God hears you either way and in all ways, right? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 says this, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings." Now, here are two qualifications here, sincere heart and full of assurance. A sincere heart means talking to God about how we really feel, not just saying what he wants us to, or wants to hear. Just because we have all the Sunday school answers doesn't mean they all have resonated in our soul inside. Be honest. Be sincere with God. Confess that you feel upset, angry, frustrated, nervous, anxious, worried, confused, or afraid. God can handle your honesty. He's not nervous. And he always wants you to come to him. Times of joy, times of defeat. Full assurance means that we can come to God with confidence. Means we don't have to be afraid to talk to him. We don't have to be embarrassed to talk to him. We don't have to be hesitant to talk to him. We don't have to be ashamed to talk to him. He's our loving Father who listens to us when we talk to him. So come to him with the assurance that our faith brings. God shows, number three, basic understanding of prayer. God shows his grace by answering prayer. See, God is a good God. He is our good, good Father. He's a gracious Father. He's a compassionate and loving Father. And God answers our prayers. Everything in the universe comes from the generosity of God. No one is more generous than him. And when you ask for something in prayer, it's called a request or a petition. Many times in the Bible, we're commanded to ask. Listen to these verses. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." James 4, 2. "You do not have because you do not ask God." Matthew 21, verse 22. "If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." James 1, 5. "If anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." 1 John 5, 14. "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." John 15, 16. "And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." Mark 11, 24. "Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." God wants him to wants us to come to him in prayer. He will answer our prayers every time. Sometimes the answers are not the ones we're expecting or wanting. But there is 100% guarantee that God answers our prayers. Now, there are four possible ways that God will answer, and you'll get a kick out of the fourth one here. There's yes, there's no, there's not yet, and there's, are you kidding me? Like, Lord, please let me win the lottery. Lord, please let the Leafs win the cup. Lord, I didn't study for this exam, so can I still can you still help me get a good grade? Lord, I know I was a little dishonest with my last business dealing, but could you please bless my financial situation? Now, my apologies to all those that I've offended with this list, whether you're here today or listening online, but wouldn't you agree that sometimes we ask God for the most ridiculous things? The most ridiculous things. As a parent, do we give our children everything? Do we give our children everything they ask for? Of course not. There are many good reasons why we don't. One of them being, it would ruin and spoil our children. The same is with God. There are some things that we ask for that if God were to give them to us, it would do more damage than good. We may not understand at the time, but hindsight is always 20/20. Sometimes God says no for our protection. Sometimes God says no for our direction. Sometimes God says no for our correction. Sometimes God says no for our perfection so that we may grow in our character. Sometimes God says no for our inspection because something inside us needs to change. Listen, God is much more interested in our character than he is our comfort. God is much more interested in our character than he is our comfort. He loves you too much to say yes to everything. And God is not a vending machine that we just put our prayers in and our answers come out. God is our good, good Father. He knows what we need better than we do. He's in it to win it for the long haul, not just for the short leg of the journey. He sees the big picture when all we have is just a little snapshot. He's focused on eternity, not the temporary. Sometimes it can be very difficult to understand the difference between no and not yet. But spiritual maturity helps us realize that God's delays are not always God's denials. Let me say that again. God's delays are not always God's denials. And it could be very well that God's delay has everything to do with our spiritual growth. Maybe our character needs growth. Maybe our faith needs growth. Maybe our patience needs growth. Maybe our self-control needs growth. Maybe our character needs growth. All these certain things. There's a difference between no and not yet. And spiritual maturity helps us to discern the difference. I love what the Message says, interpretation of Jeremiah 33, verse 3. It says, call to me and I will answer you. I'll tell you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own. When God says no or not yet, we need to trust that he sees what we do not. That he sees what we do not. Trusting that he knows what's best for us. If we could only see the things from God's perspective, we'd see that the no or the not yet prayers were the best for us. Sometimes God allows us to see the reasons why on this side of heaven? But some of them we won't see until we're in heaven. Matthew chapter 7:11 says this, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? The last basic understanding of prayer that is good for us to understand is God's desire. God desires intimacy with us. He desires intimacy with us. God longs to be close to us. He desires it. He wants it deeply. That's why he sent Jesus. If all he wanted from us was to follow a regime or a religion or an institution or a corporation, he would have just sent more commandments. But because he wanted and he desired relationship, an intimate relationship with us, he sent a person. He sent us Jesus. Anybody here or listening online ever heard the phrase, absence makes the heart grow fonder? Absence makes the heart grow fonder. It means that being apart from someone can strengthen the affection between the two people. Ever wondered where the origin of that phrase came from? Well, I'm glad that you're wondering, because I've got the answer for you. An author by the name of Thomas Haynes Bailey popularized this phrase in his work entitled Isle of Beauty. This work, published in 1850, contained the phrase in the last line of a song: absence makes the heart grow fonder. See, absence caused God's heart to grow fonder for his creation. You see, before Jesus died on the cross, there was a separation between God and humanity. Because of our sin, there was a great distance, a chasm between us and him. And when Jesus died on the cross, he changed the equation. You see, the temple had three main parts to it. You see, there was the courts. And then there's the holy place where the priest could enter. And then there's this place called the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies, reserved by God for himself. And it was in this Holy of Holies that the Ark of the Covenant was rested in. The room was only entered into once a year on the Day of Atonement by the high priest as he made a sacrifice to gain forgiveness for the sins of all the nation. The curtain in the temple was between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. Symbolically, that curtain showed the separation from a holy God from sinful people. But check this out. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 to 51, it says, "And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit." Pay attention to 51 here. At that moment, that precise moment of the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Now, this is where we need to pay attention to how it was torn. You see, sometimes we miss these little details. You see, it wasn't torn from the bottom up. It was torn from the top down. You see, it was torn from top to bottom. Why? Because it wasn't man that tore down the curtain. It was God. God tore down the curtain. God is a way maker. He is a way maker because he sent to us the way, the truth, and the life. He sent us Jesus. He tore it by tearing that curtain in two from top to bottom. God showed that Jesus had opened a way for us, all of us, to have direct, VIP, unrestricted access to God. God desires intimacy with us, with his creation. We are his prized possession, and he longs for us to come and talk to him. He's got this 24-hour drop-in system. He's never offline, and we'll never get a busy signal or have to navigate our way through some automated answering system that is so complicated and frustrating every time you call one of those things to talk to somebody at a corporation or a business. Anybody ever talk to those automated systems? You get like the first recording and you want to hang up. Right, you got to press 1 and 5 and 6 and what, like, but God doesn't have that. Every time we come to him in prayer, it's direct, unrestricted access. And we can talk to him any moment of any day. There are many examples in the Bible of people who had a close, intimate relationship with God. Here are a few examples. Enoch in Genesis chapter 5 verse 24 walked faithfully with God. Noah had a close relationship with God. Him and God would talk regularly. And as they would talk, God would give him the instructions on to build an ark. Job had a close relationship with God. God spoke to him audibly and he heard from God. King David was known as a man being after God's own heart. And King Hezekiah was one of the kings that had the closest relationship with God. And that's just to name a few. Jesus said this in John chapter 15, verses 14 to 16. "You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." He calls us friend. Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. It's not about rules and regulations, but about a deep, intimate relationship with a personal God. And because of that relationship, we want to serve Him, not out of obligation, but rather out of love. Psalm 25:14, as translated in the Living Bible, says this: "Friendship with God is reserved for those who reverence Him. With them alone, He shares the secrets of His promise." James chapter 4, verse 8, "Come near to God, and He will come near to you." We were created to have a relationship with God. What is the purpose? That is the purpose to our existence. God has made a way for that to be possible through His Son, Jesus Christ. So it's up to us to make our move to get closer to Him, because He's already made His move closer to us. He desires intimacy with us. That's why it's important to have a good understanding, a basic understanding of what prayer really is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You today. I thank You today that we can learn these understandings about prayer. I thank You today, Father, that You love us so much. And that, Lord, You desire a personal, intimate relationship with us. And that was evident through Your Son, Jesus Christ. You could have easily sent somebody up to Mount Sinai to bring down more commandments so that we could get closer to You, but You chose another way. You chose a person to be the way. And so we thank You that Jesus is the way maker. We thank You, Lord, that through Him we can have a victory. We thank You that through Him we have access, unrestricted VIP access to You. So God, I pray that as we take time over the next course of these weeks, as we learn some how-tos and some real practical ways on how to worship You and get to know You better through prayer, Lord, I pray that we would grow more spiritually in 2020. So Father, we give this to You in Jesus' holy name. Amen.